Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold, hosting Africa, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. Welcome to the show this evening. It is Saturday evening, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America, and it is May 14th, 2016. Welcome, everyone, to the show. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and a much greater pleasure to have the leader of this teaching. Not a much greater pleasure, as much of a pleasure. I don't want to demean anyone, so I apologize, but it is a tremendous pleasure to have both the listeners and the leader of this teaching, Sri Kadavji, who is the Mahaji and the 973rd Living Sarosha Master. He's the leader of this very ancient teaching, and Sri Kadavji, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, Leslie, and after all, we're doing the Leslie Arnold Show, too. Don't forget that, right?
Yes, it's that's true, but I'm just hosting the show. This show is really centered on the guest host, who is the leader of the teaching, Sri Kadavji. So Sri Kadavji, many people have been with the show for years. We've been airing the show, and we've had a very dedicated audience, but also we also have new people that come and listen when the show is airing on Saturday nights at 6:30 on the East Coast of the United States. But what we usually begin with is some of the basic fundamentals of the teaching, just to give those who haven't heard about ACATA before an idea of what this teaching is about, how it got started, what's the purpose of this spiritual path, what it means for someone to actually be on this path, how it would affect their life in the various ways that it does. So with all that, and I know it's thrown a lot in your lap to start with, maybe you could pick a place where you'd like to start that you'd be comfortable with. I'm talking about this teaching and also your job in this teaching, Sri Kadavji.
I usually try to start with the simple short definition that we call ACATA, the ancient science of Sahaji. And that means also it's about a teaching of light and sound. Like the sound current is the essence of soul that does this Sahaji, this movement in the spirit body. That means that we understand fundamentally who we are and what we've been experiencing as children, this searching for the truth about what they call God and that sort of thing. We use the acronym Glimpse of the Divine, which is G-O-D. And then some people say that each one of us is a God or a God, a smaller, mini-God type thing. But we try to avoid all that because it gets into these misunderstandings about the central God and all that business. So what we do basically is get to the level we call soul. And so the soul essence, the spark of God, the light and sound current that we are, and that's a true identity on the fifth plane. We call it the fifth region. And why there's so much difficulties in the lower regions. We have the four lower planes before we get to the true identity of the self-realization in the fifth plane. So it's very important that we get to that level, and the only way you can get to that level is by traveling the path of ACATA. Now, people say that's hubris or audaciousness on our part. By saying we're the most direct or the only path to the God worlds. But I challenge other people to show me something that gets them to spiritual liberation. It just doesn't exist, and therefore we say we're the recommendibus or the last say in the matter in terms of myself as the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master at the time, which is the titular or titular level of the of that particular responsibility, I'll say. And that position is a long, unbroken line that goes back to before the dawn of time. What we measure, the 973, goes back to 3100 B.C. and the beginning of the present era of the Iron Age. And so that means that before that time, the masters that do exist in terms of the ones that are still alive, you say, well, how do they live that long? Well, they're called superannuated, and some of them do. But what they are the ancient master lineage measured in terms of not numerical chronological order like we do now. And therefore, we do that because they usually measure the eras that they're presently in. For instance, they have four eras of the golden, silver, copper, and iron age. We're presently in the iron age, which is the most negative time, but there shouldn't be limitations on that, but we're not going to go into those details presently. What we want to point out is the sound current that I was talking about a few minutes ago, is the sound current that we hear within us. It's like an electrical pitch or a ringing in the ear that anybody can hear. For those who can't hear it, you can go to a quiet place or to try to listen for it. And once you hear it, then you can retain a focus upon it because now you have a remembrance of that particular sound current as the essence of what you are. So that means you are soul, like I am soul. We're not third person, but we're first person singular. That we don't have a soul, we are a soul. So it's an individual singularity, an individuality that each person retains throughout eternity in terms of its essence of soul. So we talk about that in Akagen. I know some of the religions talk about soul, but they usually mix it up with the mind levels. And we separate those. We say there's soul, mind, and body. I know there's a magazine on that, but they don't really give you the specifics of what that means. If you rifle through the magazine, you'll find there's no explanation for it. And then usually it's some religion like Buddhism or something of that nature. But they don't really give you any distinction on that. Whereas in Akagyo, we give a clear distinction that soul starts from the fifth region, the fifth dimension, or the essence in the middle part of it as soul, as the individual in the central part, the centering of the individual is its essence, its light and sound. All right, the lower regions, like you have the mind body, you have the causal body, astral body, and physical body, those are actually illusionic sheaths around soul. That in the physical plane, we need this physical sheath to protect the essence of soul because it's just a power unit. And its powerful essence needs protection in these lower regions so that it can remain in the middle, I'll say. So it's kind of a play on words, not necessarily Zen per se. We don't try to avoid giving answers, but we make every effort to explain the basic fundamentals. And that means that we talk about the hue chant, which is a syllable in the word human, and you can see that that's in plain sight in the word human, and it's hidden right there because they often have said in some of the proverbs that if you want to hide something, you put it in plain sight, and that means that it's a secret until revealed, but then the irony of a secret in terms of Akagyo is people have to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear to be the ready soul for the path. So that means no matter how much you expose it, it remains secret because people are not aware of the particular information. So it's kind of interesting that way. Now, Leslie, if you would talk about the contemplation and take us through a huge chant, if you will do that, please, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure, I'll be very happy to. Yes, the contemplation is a 30-minute spiritual exercise that we do daily. And the importance of it is that this is our direct contact with the spirit that we're intentionally focusing on for that 30-minute period. So the reason why it's important is because it not only links us up even stronger to Sarosha, the spirit, which is heard as sound and seen as light, it balances us out for a 24-hour period and gives us complete protection during that 24-hour period. That's why it's so important that this contemplation technique be done daily. And when someone's doing this contemplation, it does look like we're in meditation. It's a very similar position that we might be taking. For instance, we may be sitting in tower fashion, like lotus position, or we can have our feet flat on the floor. Most importantly, we want to be in a quiet place where we're not going to be distracted by extraneous noise, and it's advisable to use earplugs as well if we need to do that, if there's a drone of traffic or refrigerator noise or whatever that might be disturbing us. So to do a contemplation, as I said, we're going to get ourselves into a comfortable position.
Could I add something? We wouldn't want to contemplate in the kitchen, though, per se. Go ahead. The refrigerator noise. I was kidding about that.
Oh, okay. It's a joke. I understand. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, anyway, so we're going to sit down in a comfortable chair and a quiet place, close our eyes, take a couple of deep breaths to relax ourselves. And just remember, the approach to this is a very gentle approach. So we're putting our attention on what's called either the tisratil, which is called the third eye, that spot right between the eyebrows, right above the bridge of the nose, or you can also put your attention on the crown chakra, what's often called the soft spot, where a baby, the soul comes in as a baby into the body. And that's actually the highest chakra, but you can use either of the two. And we put our attention there, and gently we're putting our attention. We don't want to force anything during the contemplation. And then we can chant the word HU. Now, HU, which is spelled H-U, has extremely high vibrations because it's actually the sound that comes off the 10th plane, which is the plane where one achieves spiritual mastery. And it's another word that means God, therefore the very high vibrations. The reason we use HU rather than God is because HU actually has a higher vibration to it. It's a high Sanskrit word, and that's why we're not using conventional English words or conventional words in any other language on the earth. We're only using the higher Sanskrit because of the vibrations that come from using those words. So we're going to close our eyes. We're going to chant the word HU for a few moments. We can do it for a few moments. We can do it longer, whatever is comfortable for the individual is fine. And then after that, we can spend some time being quiet, still putting our attention on either the tisratil or the crown chakra. Now, there's different experiences that an individual can have when they're doing contemplation. For one thing, though, let me explain that immediately, as soon as we close our eyes, we're in the state of sahaji, which is actually out-of-body travel. Now, there's different levels of sahaji, where you might have a very vivid sahaji experience where you're traveling within the inner planes. You can attend, for example, this is one of many examples of things you can do. You might attend a satsang on one of the inner planes at a temple of golden wisdom with some of the spiritual masters. There's many, many experiences that can be had. The main thing to remember is that we're not meditating, and we're not doing astral travel here. Those activities take place in the lower worlds. By chanting the word here, we're automatically putting ourselves at the soul plane or higher in what's called the pure positive God's worlds. So there's no negativity, there's no duality, it's pure positive energy. So that's why it's so important to chant the word here, to do sahaji versus doing astral travel, because astral travel locks you into the astral plane. And so we're going to do the contemplation for a period of 30 minutes, which, as I said before, covers a 24-hour period. Now, you might hear a very high-pitched electrical sound, which is actually a sound of Sarosha. It's your own inner sound that you're hearing when you're in contemplation. So it's very important to tune into that because it is very balancing. It gives you complete protection, and that will help facilitate your spiritual unfoldment. You might also see a bright light. It could be a white light, a yellow light, which are on the higher planes. You might see the blue light, which is sort of a deep royal blue of the Mahaji, and which means that he's standing by. He can guide you if you wish. The Mahaji never oversteps. He's always there to give you help as you might need it. So these are some of the experiences that you might have. It's a very individual practice and a very individual teaching, but there are certain standards that need to be met, and that is closing your eyes, chanting the word Hu, unless, of course, you're an initiate on the path, in which case you have your own mantra. But you're going to do it for 30 minutes at a time on a daily basis. And it's a good idea to try to make that the same time every day to make sure that your 24-hour period is approximately the same. Sri Kataji, did you want to add anything to what I've said about this?
Well, I wanted you to take us through a contemplation, Judy.
Oh, I'm sorry, which I do every week. And I totally forgot to do that, so I apologize for that. But I will take you through what's a brief example. We call it the Hu chant. So let's, if you'd like to follow along, you can, or if you just want to listen. But we're going to close our eyes, take a deep breath or two, put our attention on the either the Tishratim or the crown chakra, and then we'll chant the word Hu. And it sounds like this. Hu. Barak of Ashad, which means may the blessing this day. Sri Kadashi, now
yeah.
Would you like to add something?
Yes, I will add something. The contemplation, as Leslie stated, is done for 30 minutes every day. It obviously has a calming effect on one, and that's very important, especially in the lower worlds where it's a lot of helter-skelter nonsense goes on, in the areas of polarity, positive and negative worlds. So there's a lot of imagery and traffic, quite literally, in the lower worlds. And therefore, each day, one needs to go within. I call it plugging into the universe, because people have these devices now, these electronic things you have to plug in so we can relate to that. So in essence, the individual needs to go within firstly to spend 30 minutes a day to get this energy of this rosha to use in your daily life. And it's very important because one has to learn to get through and cope with the daily activities. But they don't do it in terms of people that are not on the path of Akita really aren't coping. That's why their longevity is somewhat limited to, say, 70, so to speak, because they are pretty miserable. But they don't have to necessarily admit that because they've lost their way and are trying to find their way. The non-ready are 99 out of 100 people are going to get to the path in this lifetime. So they're just passing through and waving bye-bye as they pass on to the other realms. And why is that is the question of the supreme deity that we call the Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R. And that supreme deity sets up the lower planes for a lesson ground, this soul that is there and experiencing things, and trying to find its way back. Now, the science of the Akasha is essentially that because the essence of what we are is in a perpetual state of motion, in cyclical or spiraling. That's where the word spirit comes from, is spiral. If we look at the word srosha, it's actually the derivation of the spinning. If you look at it, you can see it looks like the srosha symbol, which is a stylized S-R-A-O-S-H-A, looks like the top of a funnel, and it's a spinning process. Again, that's where the word spirit comes from, because it comes from spiral. A lot of people don't understand that. I think probably we're the only ones that teach that, about spirit meaning spiritual or spinning. And that's really interesting, because you can see that the word itself is spiral. It's a S-P-I-R, you know, spirit. But they don't consider that. It's really interesting how, to me, it's really obvious, but it's obvious to us, but a lot of things are obvious to the actors that aren't obvious to other people, because nothing's a riddle to the actors. Anything that we say is comprehended by the ready soul. They are agreeable, and they understand, they get it, so to speak. And therefore, they'll step onto the path because that readiness state, that's what the ready means anyway. They're ready to step onto the path. Now, the other people, these 99 out of 100, are going to besmirch or persecute or whatever to push Akita underground, if at all possible, because they're controlled by what is known as the negative force, the Kal Naranjan. And the Kal Naranjan is the negative overlord of the lower worlds. And it's what is known as the He God in Genesis. So even the religions of the Christian religions, the ones that follow the story of the Messiah in terms of the biblical scripture, are actually following the demon god, and not even the devil god, because the devil, Deva, really means angel. So it's not really necessarily angelic or like a negative angel, it's sort of a demon. So they follow this he genderized god, which is the Kal Naranjan. All right, so it is a god, but a very lesser god. It's a god of the fourth plane. So it has tremendous power. It has power over the entire lower worlds, which is a really vast region. But ironically, it's within each individual, all these inner planes. So it's our own creation that we learn about as we go into the higher planes, one stepping onto the path. But you can't learn about this creation until you step onto the path of Akachis. It's only for the Akachis that can learn about the creation and experience it. We can have a lot of knowledge. We can have a lot of information and specific information or stable datum in the lower planes, as they call it. But at the same time, we can't really have the experience of the higher planes. We can't have spiritual experiences with just a bunch of word knowledge. You see, we can have a comprehension of the information or the data, but we could never have the experience. That's why Akita gives the experience, because there has to be a high path, otherwise there wouldn't be a manifest world. It wouldn't exist if there wasn't a state of consciousness. That's why I'm always talking about the atheists condemn that there isn't anything and they're nihilists and all these sorts of things. But then I say, well, who said that? Didn't the state of consciousness make that remark? See, therefore, we have a state of consciousness which is eternal, and that means the God force we call the Akshar is eternal as well. It doesn't preclude that we're a religion just because we talk about a God, because the high path is just that. It's a pathway, teaching, or science. Those four definitions and nothing else. It's not a religion. It's not New Age. It's not cult or occult. It's not metaphysical. It's not an English teaching or a particular language teaching. It's not necessarily orthodox history or mathematics or physics. It's this way, path, teaching, or science of Sahaji. It's that simple. It's the ancient science of Sahaja, which is the most ancient teaching. And that has to be specific, and no other definition will do. It's just wrong. If somebody tags it as religion, it's just their opinion, and it's not necessarily sanctioned by a living Sarosha master at the time. which is myself, for a position. It's not a dictatorship. I'm not here forever. And it's not a messiah complex or anything of that nature. It's a definite lineage, which is very important and can be proved up in terms of who was in the lineage, how long their tenure was, etc. And it goes back, as was said, at 3100 B.C. So our time is getting down to about 5 minutes left, I guess. Did you want to add something?
Four and a half minutes left. Well, I would like to mention that for people who are interested in getting more information, you can certainly go to our website, akata.com, and that's akata.com. And there's a lot of information, including the introductory book. There's other books as well. There are audios. All this information is free. So whether you're just investigating to find some more out about the teaching or whether you think that you might be ready to take a step for membership, which is free as well, you can do that through our website. And there is an application that can be downloaded on the website. So you can fill that out and send it to us if you'd like to apply for membership.
So you were going fairly quickly there. What you're saying is that it's free, F-R-E-E. You were going a little quick, so I don't know if people probably really understood that. No, it's all right. But I'm just saying we want to emphasize it. There's no charge. There's no cost, no contributions, no donations. It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E. See, sometimes people, they're not used to that, so they don't get that. That's why I'm emphasizing it. We just don't have any charge for this, which is, people are amazed at that, but also very appreciative because we're dealing with a lot of people around the world that don't have much money even to eat. In the third world countries, they barely get by. It's not like the West in terms of having more affluency. So we teach it internationally where some of the downtrodden don't have a lot of funding. They really appreciate getting to the path because it doesn't cost them anything. So I just want to emphasize that, okay? So go ahead if you were wanting to add some more things.
No, that's actually what I was going to talk about, is that there isn't any charge on the path, because we don't want that to be an obstacle to people who are truly interested in gaining spiritual unfoldment. If that's their priority, then they shouldn't be
held
disallowed
back.
From... I'm sorry?
Right. Yeah, that shouldn't hold them back. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't want any. So we don't accept. As Sri Kayachi said, we don't even accept donations. So we just have this path, which is available. It's very, very ancient teaching, and it's available for those people who are ready souls. And as Sri Kayachi often says, that's only about 1% of the population. But being that the population is about 7 billion, there are 70 million ready souls on this Earth's planet.
Yeah, closer to 7.5 billion now, too. Mm-hmm. Even though there was a book out a couple years ago about, but I don't know if that was mythical. It was on a movie, 6 billion and me or something like that. But there are about 7.5 billion people in the Earth right now. So, right, 75 million ready souls. We're not ambitious. We only have maybe 3,000 members, but it's still a decent amount. And at the same time, we're growing all the time, and a lot of it has to do with the opportunities. So go ahead. I think we're down to about a minute left or so.
Exactly. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. We invite you to listen to any of the archives. There's hundreds of shows on the archives that you can listen to. Please go to the website for more information or for an application, and we welcome you to listen to every Saturday evening at 6:30 on the East Coast of America. That's when we air the show. Except I do not believe we're having a show next Saturday, so you'll have to listen to archives. So I want to thank everyone, and especially Sri Kanaji, thank you for being here with us and giving your message and the enlightenment that you do give us every week. You've got about 25 seconds, and I will let you close the show for the evening, if you would.
Since you can't see me, that Master raises his right hand with the palm facing outward and says, I am always with you. May the blessings be. Baraka B'Shad.